This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
There was a news story that caught our eye this week that said it costs about the same amount to keep an inmate in prison in California for a year as it would to send them to Stanford. One reason that's come up lately is that Attorney General Jeff Sessions reversed an Obama-era criminal justice policy that sought leniency for low-level drug offenses and other nonviolent crimes. Sessions has now told prosecutors to go after the toughest possible penalties and sentences. But this is Marketplace, so we come back to the numbers. Prison is expensive. And since we're talking about taxpayer dollars, we wanted to ask what kind of return on investment we are all getting. Professor Charis Kubrin studies the cost of incarceration at the University of California, Irvine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, people like to throw out numbers, say, oh, it costs X amount in this state or that. Well, what is the sort of average number of how much it costs to incarcerate someone?
Well, that varies state by state. In my state of California, for example, it costs upwards of $60,000 per inmate per year to house them in prison. That's quite a bit. And so if you're talking about adding additional time through mandatory minimum sentences, and you're doing that across offenders and adding many years on, you can see how very quickly that cost can escalate. It's very costly to maintain prisons. There are high security facilities. There's a lot of technology involved. You have to pay workers there. There's health care that's involved with inmates. There's all sorts of costs associated with keeping someone locked up in a maximum security facility.
Is there some sort of magic number where incarceration pays off?
So, of course, we have to use incarceration. It's an important tool in our crime-fighting toolbox, if you will. I think everyone would agree that incarceration and even mandatory minimum penalties can be useful or effective if they're utilized against the right category of offenders. So I think there's little pushback to using mandatory minimums and other severe penalties when you have very high-level offenders, offenders that are violent, that pose a significant threat to society, and for whom locking them up for a long period of time would actually not only help public safety, but reduce costs associated with crime. The concern, though, is that there's a net widening going on with these sorts of policies whereby it's not just those high-level offenders that get caught up with the mandatory minimums. It's a lot of low-level offenders. And that's when you start seeing diminishing returns, both in terms of crimes prevented as well as the cost effectiveness.
You know, you study the sort of cost of incarceration, and there was one thing that I'm really curious about that I wanted to get your take on. There was a study that came out last year from Washington University in St. Louis, and they found all sorts of things about how much incarceration costs. But there was one thing that kind of blew my mind, which was that high levels of incarceration might actually increase crime and not deter it. How does that work?
Yes. So, I mean, that's an interesting point because we tend to assume that more incarceration will result in less crime because people are deterred. Both the individuals that are in prison, well, they're in prison, they can't commit another crime. And you hear people saying that all the time. Well, we know at least this individual can't commit any more crime. But we also make the assumption that those of us outside of prison will learn from the lessons of those that have been caught and be deterred to commit crime. Deterrence works to a certain point. However, there is also a competing force that you have to understand or take into account, which is that individuals in prison may also actually exacerbate their criminal propensities by learning how to engage in crime, by consulting with other individuals in prison who they learn from, by hardening their approach to crime, that sort of thing. So the assumption that prisons are going to necessarily reform and that when folks get out, they're in better shape is faulty. And in fact, as you mentioned, there is some evidence to suggest that prisons may do more harm for certain kinds of offenders. And I think in many cases, that's the low-level offenders I was mentioning before.
Well, so what then, easy question here, should a society do? I mean, even nonviolent crimes do have victims. So how do we look at this from even a rudimentary cost-benefit analysis standpoint?
Right. I mean, that's the key question, is you want to make sure you are putting away the most serious violent offenders, keeping them off the streets, and doing sort of the most effective use of the resources with the least harm for offenders, victims, and their families. And that's a very difficult calculation to figure out. I'm not quite sure exactly what that calculation looks like on the ground. I mean, some states are figuring that out on their own. In California, for example, we've recently implemented a number of criminal justice reforms designed to take low-level offenders out of the system, in part because our system was so broken, the Supreme Court came in and said, prison overcrowding, horrible conditions, you must reduce your prison population by close to 40,000 inmates. And the idea was, we can identify individuals for whom it is simply not useful and cost-effective to lock them up for so long. And it turns out, I've done research along with my colleague Carol Saron here at UCI, turns out that you can do these sorts of major criminal justice sweeping changes and not harm public safety.
I'm going to be a little bit crude here, but we're talking about taxpayer money in most of these cases. So what pays off for taxpayers?
So, I mean, I think it needs to be a combination of what I would consider to be front-end and back-end solutions. So mostly what this country does are back-end solutions.
Well, like what? What are front-end options?
Well, there's a number of different things. So there's all kinds of treatment facilities, mental health facilities. We need to try and alleviate poverty. We need to help with housing instability. Civic participation should be increased. Police community relations should be improved. I mean, I could go down the litany of things that would
have These are not small issues.
Not small issues. Absolutely not. I think that approach where it's really back-end focused to the exclusion of front-end kinds of prevention, even though they're difficult, is in the end not worth it.
Charis Kubrin is a criminologist who studies the cost of incarceration at the University of California, Irvine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.